American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, June the 15th, 2009. And that's right, you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sid Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, redmercury.se, still live on Tuesdays. Thank you very much, Lab Rat. If you got any details on that, actually, Lab Rat, we do need a little bit more than what you told us. If you could send an email with the information on how to get to your stream, you can say, you can send that to info@rantradio.com. As well, if you know of a radio station or some sort of broadcast medium, even if a parrot is able to sort of mimic what I say, let me know, because we need to know about that so we can give that parrot credit. Because after all, that's what we always try to do, is give all the parrots the credit they deserve. And to do that, you send a little email or a big email to info@rantradio.com. Just like all these good people did. SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes. Of course, you can still find redmercury.se on iTunes, if that helps. Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday, Second Life. Node Archers, grid 155-74666. And let's not forget that we are, in fact, simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And now, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Good evening, Sean.
There you are. There you are. You sound a little bit quieter, though. You sound much quieter than normal. If you can just lean a little bit more, because wow, I could barely hear you there.
Sure.
Let's lean in a bit more. What happened there?
Okay. No, 2 inches from
You're
the mic.
2 inches from the mic.
Always. I'll go 1 inch then.
Yeah, you could. You could, or I can try to mess around with your levels again. We've been having some levels issues with the show in Second Life here. For some reason, we're not able to get it really. To where
damn
I really...
you, Second Life. Damn you.
Well, I'll blame Second Life, because it's so much easier to blame Second Life than it is to, you know, actually take responsibility and blame anybody else for it. So that's my ploy. That's my ploy. So how is... oh, ding. I'm now recording the dings. That's no good. I can't be recording dings. So I'll have to get you to maybe turn up your sound a bit. Say something again, sexy. Sim, say something sexy.
I'll turn up. Sexy, sexy, sexy.
Well, that's, test, yeah.
Test.
We'll have
two,
to
go
a little bit louder. Just a touch louder. There we go. Let's try
one,
that.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
There we go. That's good. All right. Don't
1, 2.
It.
Check, check. Excellent.
All right. Now, freeze your head in place with the little screws that fit from the band that wraps around your head and bolt it in there. That's what. Have you ever seen those medical apparatus? They use them to immobilize the head. They're actually like.
And they do brain operations?
I think they can use it for when you lock people in, too. I mean, you like lock them up and you can put these like cages. I don't know. I guess they must use it for brain stuff. I mean, but they're like screws that, like, you know, pierce your head, and it's very...
Oh, okay, like if you've got a neck injury or a head injury or...
Yeah.
Like in Fight Club, when the guy at the bar is, like, cleaning off the glasses at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's exactly the one I'm talking about, which I find to be, you know, after a term, kind of disturbing, really. I thought that whole that whole thing was pretty seriously messed up. I don't really know... did that look healthy to you at all? Really? I mean, come on.
Not really.
No,
and
it does.
I'm sure Marilyn Manson has used that apparatus in more than one of his videos.
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, generally, if I go to a doctor's office and they're strapping stuff onto my head that I saw in a Marilyn Manson video, I'm going to get a second opinion. You know, that's just the way it is. And a person, you know, I got some feedback here from someone, and I'm bad for the pronunciations. Okay. Hi, Sean. I just thought I'd dash this off to you, because I love it when they say things like dash this off. You know that this is a British guy, right? David Icke.
Oh, yeah.
This is David Icke, the lizard guy. You know, the guy. His name is not actually pronounced Icke or Icky. It's pronounced Ike, as in Ike and Tina. So I thought you'd like
really?
To know, so I'd update you. Typical crappy English spelly. Sorry about that. Peace from rainy day. Which, when I first saw that, I was like, oh my god, what if you know, David Icke, you know, responded to me and he like listens to the show, and every time I rip
you
on him,
you thought you were slagging him for 5 years.
Yeah, you know, and I've been like, you know, totally ripping on this guy, and now he's going to be all upset because I just you know, I've been making fun of his lizard people thing, which is unfortunate. And then I got this kind of disturbing email. If you scroll down. Simi, on the show format, you'll see a picture of one of the bugs that this actual email is about.
That thing is disgusting.
It is kind of disgusting. Hi, Sean and Sim. Last show, you talked about uplifting giant camel spiders, also known as wind scorpions. Now, this is part of my the Rant Media bioweapons division that we were working on for crowd control. And this was my idea, mm-hmm. You know. And occasionally I come up with these ideas. You know, you're sitting there, the power goes out, you know, you're contemplating your navel, waiting for the internet connection to come back up, and you start going, you know... If I had a couple of wind scorpions, I could, you know, make an anti-riot squad, and you have, like, start having these strange fantasies about, you know, like, the GOP protests, and you're, like, unleashing camel spiders on people and stuff like that. It was just like for a photographic, you know, spectacle, it'd be brilliant.
Oh, it's
you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, really.
People running from them, screaming in the streets.
Well, plus you've got all the macro stuff you can do, you know, the close-up of the spider on the unconscious protester's face. I mean, you can do lots of stuff with this. But anyway, last show you talked about uplifting giant camel spiders. Now, I found a pretty awesome bug that I thought could be some kind of aquatic stealth attack drone if uplifted. Here you have it. It's the Bellastromatidia. It's the family of insects and the order of Hemiptera, known as the giant water bugs, or colloquially as toe biters, which is a great name for a bug. I mean, oh no, the toe biters.
Here come the toe biters.
Yeah, as opposed to camel spiders. You got camel spiders and toe biters. Electric light bulbs, electric light bugs, or alligator ticks, which I think that anything...
That one's not bad.
I like alligator ticks, yeah. In Florida, they call them alligator ticks. They're the largest insects in the order of the Hemiptera and occur worldwide, with most of the species in North America, so they're local. We don't have to import any of these things. They're in North America, South America, and East Asia. They're typically encountered in freshwater streams and ponds. Most specifically are relatively 2 centimeters or more. They're relatively large, 2 centimeters or more, which, I mean, camel spiders are really big. So these guys are, they can get just over 12 centimeters, still 12 centimeters.
That's a big bug.
Is a big bug. I mean, that is a pretty big bug. That's like a 9-inch
third
bug.
Third of a foot, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's not bad. And nearly the dimensions, length, and mass of some larger beetles in the world. So it's kind of a bug thing. Giant water bugs are popular food in Thailand. You can eat these things. So, you know, nothing like cracking down to some good alligator ticks, you know, deep fried. Bugs of this family are fierce predators, which will stalk, capture, and feed on aquatic crustaceans, fish, and amphibians. So basically anything. They often lie motionless at the bottom of a body of water and attached to various objects and wait for their prey to come near. Then they strike, injecting a powerful digestive saliva with part of their mandibles and sucking out the liquefied remains. Their bite is considered one of the most painful that can be inflicted by any insect. And the longer the bug is allowed to inject its saliva, the worse the resulting bite. As the saliva liquefies, muscle tissue, in rare instances, can do permanent damage. So, the largest of the Brosmida family is the Lethroceras, which can reach a relative length of over 11 centimeters. Now, think of that. There are 100 of them pursuing an enemy diver. That's a scary prospect. There you
have
it.
That's true.
Hope you like it. And that's from Epex. Now, this is disturbing for a number of reasons. First of all, I'm always upset when you know, people take some of my crazy bug riot control uplifting genetic experiments seriously and then begin, you know, adding to them. And as well, I don't really like the idea of uplifting these bugs because, well, they're in the water, and if you've got a wetsuit, it's pretty easy to avoid these things. You know what I mean? I don't think they'd be able to bite through a wetsuit, you know, really. And nobody's going to be swimming, you know, skin diving into the WOG compound to get us, you know. So rather than have the, if I was going to have, you know, a waterborne defender, you know, personally, I'd probably go with the alligator itself. You know, really, if we're going to have something in the water.
Oh, you might as well.
You may as well. You know, and have a couple ticks too, but I don't think the alligators would like that. You know, but well, I would I'd probably go with
they
the
might come along with the alligators.
Exactly.
It's a package deal, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You know, and then, you know, they're like, God damn, these toe biters. And then, oh God, my whole leg. You know, so maybe that's the drill there. But more than anything else, the fact that somebody, you know, went out and was looking at these, what other bugs could we uplift to create, you know, some guys? Because there's probably other, or you know, arachnids. Because I think, though, wind scorpions are, in fact, arachnids. And we can't forget, as well, an honorable mention has to go to baboon spiders and bird spiders. Because there's a lot of these guys, spiders that eat lizards and birds and things like that. Are you squeamish, Simi, with the bugs? How do the bugs treat you? Are you
not especially. No, I'm not too bad.
You're not like a scream and run kind of guy?
I'm not going to. Oh, no. But I'm not going to pick them up and pet them either. But I'm not going to run away.
Yeah. No. No running. No. But, you know, it's some people like them. I don't think so.
Usually the smaller they are, the worse they are. Like, ones that you can't really see too well if they're, like, on you or climbing around, you know? Those
right.
are the bad ones.
Right, and you've got, like, the no-see-ums, right? Which is the little black flies that can get in there. And, you know, the thing with some of those black flies, I mean, realistically, up here in Canada, we don't have to worry about bugs too much. But, seriously, insects are some scary-ass critters, you know? Especially, like, the parasitic ones that have, like, blowflies, and they inject, like, little parasites into your body. And we're not even talking about ringworm and tapeworm and all these weird, freaky worms that nobody's ever heard of. And they lay eggs inside your body, and then, you know, they gestate and crawl out of your chest and kill everybody else in the spaceship. It's upsetting, you know, when that kind of stuff happens. And, you know, they make a couple of good movies out of it, and then the whole series goes to shit. And that's a problem, you know. So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that if whatever possible. But if you are a budding entomologist, and you have some ideas for, you know, your uplifting entomology experiments in the basement of your mansion, let us know here at rantradio.com, because we're all about, you know, trying to make the world a better place, one bug at a time. we got to sort yourself out. I'm very happy about this. Very happy about this.
Ooh,
I never get sort yourselves out. You know, no one wants my advice anymore. So they just kind of, they don't really ask
you
me.
You fix them all.
Well, you know, it's you know, quite often people don't want the truth. Quite often people just want someone to commiserate with. You know,
that's
like that
it's
girl.
It's okay.
Well, that's right. The girl who talks to you all the time. Not you, but the universal you. Not you personally, Sam. But like, you know, they got the ixnay on the girl, say, if way is listening.
Sean.
Yeah, no, but you know, there's always that chick who, you know, is, like, telling you about her boyfriend that she really hates. And meanwhile, you're the guy who's got the hots for it. If she would only see, you know, that kind of a thing. That's what I'm talking about here. That's the one. And, of course, you know, me being, you know, TFM over here, which is going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. Me being TFM over here, of course, I'm just going to give it to you straight, give you the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
right.
Hey, if they listen
whether
to me.
Whether you like it or not.
That's right. If they listen to me or Jack Bauer, the show would be called 12. You know, so that's how it is. that's what's going on there. So, but this is a piece of advice we got handed in here. Dear TFM, or Mr. TFM, which I've never been called Mr.
Oh, that's
TFM.
A new one.
That's a new one. We should come up with like a
that's
list.
That's a good one, actually. Mr. TFM.
Mr. TFM. Well, out of the
it's
sheer...
almost radio and Mr. T.
Well, it's got Mr. T in there, and I am not one inch as cool as Mr. T is. Like, there are people out there who I'm infinitely cooler than. Mr. T is not one of them. Mr. T is made of win and dipped in awesome. He is all that is cool, especially when he had the feathers, when he had the gold chain and the feathers. I don't know if you've ever seen the ones where everyone's seen the ones with the chains.
So.
Yeah, but he would have like the leather, you know, strap that comes down and it's got the really fluffy. They're kind of like the feathers you see hanging off of a dream catcher. If you ever see those?
Okay.
And they'd be going down on either side. And it was like, that was some 80s power right there. I mean, that was just like shocking pink. Good stuff.
Ooh.
Good stuff. Mr. T. But anyway, Mr. TFM, how do you get up in the morning and run every day? I've tried for a long time to do this with no avail, and many excuses come to mind. How do you deal with what to wear, weather, or just plain not hitting the snooze button? This was sent to me by Desette. Well, interesting. Interesting question. First off, I don't get up and run every day. I try to get up and run every day. Sometimes it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And as well, you have to work your way up to that. Because if you're a giant, great, big, fat person, and you know who I'm talking to here, if you're a fatty, you're not going to be able to run every day because you're going to break your body down. And even like the military now, they don't really run their guys every single day, especially if they're just getting into shape. They run them every other day. And things like this, you know. But what you do have to do is you have to get used to, you have to know the difference between pain and discomfort, okay? If you're just uncomfortable, yeah, then you can push yourself forwards and go through it. If you're in pain, that means something is wrong and you're hurting yourself. So the way you do this, okay, so there's a couple of questions here. Okay, so how do you deal with what to wear? Well, that's very simple. You don't. What you just wear, like something that covers your body, which you could easily put on while you're half, you know, comatose and don't want to be doing that. So you just have your clothing like right there. So there's like underwear, shorts, socks, t-shirt. Bang, on it goes with like your sweatshirt.
Nothing with zippers.
No.
Like sweatpants or shorts.
Nothing. Nothing I hate any worse than people who spend a lot of money on running gear. That really pisses me off. Like, it really makes me crazy. These people who get, like, the fashion run thing on the go. It's just, oh, God, that just makes me nuts. Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, I'll go naked with a knife, and you run at about 5 o'clock in the morning around your neighborhood. And that will definitely, you know, motivate you to run. No, the other thing is weather is irrelevant. You run despite the weather. If you're going to be, I mean, if it's raining and cold, it's sometimes better because you just put on a sweatshirt and you're good to go.
Cool you off too.
Oh well, yeah, and you don't overheat, which is a big problem for me. Some people, you know, they don't have that overheat issue with me. I overheat all the time, and you have to kind of have a certain amount of self-loathing, and the Army really helps with that. Like if you don't have any self-loathing, you know, Army people are good with that because that's largely what they do in the Army. Is you start off with like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, about myself, and then you got this guy who's like, you're fucking weak and useless, you pathetic maggot. Look at you, 12 sandwich eating civilian. Get your fat ass out of that bed. Get out of that fucking bed. And that's what happens, you know. And after you've been in the Army for a little while, you know, I have like my own personal Arlie Ermey inside my head, who I've been able to keep quiet, surprisingly, lately. He hasn't been as quite as forceful. I think he may have, you know, be sedate or maybe found some hookers in Thailand. I don't know where he is, but I wish he'd kind of come back because I'm not as motivated as I used to be to run, you know, I guess. And it also helps, it's worth mentioning, it also helps that if you have a reason to run, like some kind of a goal, you know, Viktor Frankl's book, if you've ever read it, I don't know if you've ever read it, but Viktor Frankl wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Outstanding book. He was a Jew. He was a Jew guy. Juden? Jew. He was a Jewish dude. Jewish doctor. Who has got his shrink degree. And he's a, you know, official head shrinker degree. And he just got it in time to go to Auschwitz. Oh, straight into the Auschwitz with you.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, as a Jew, Auschwitz, not the best place to be. So he wrote this book while watching, you know, pretty much the 12th level of suck go on all around him. People, they were doing medical experiments on him. It's like super shitty. It's like, you know, this insanely crazy Auschwitz experience, and he's talking about how, you know, people lose all, the only thing you really have control of is your reaction to things, unless you're me, of course, which I'm just this reactionary gong show over here that just blows up for no reason whatsoever, despite no matter what anybody else says or does, you know, I don't care, I'll just freak out. But generally, if you're normal and have better self-control than I do, you should be able to, you know, control your reaction. I don't think I'd last very long in Auschwitz. I think I'd be killed on the train. You know, I don't even think I'd make the camp, you know. And I'm making light of this because, I mean, there's no conceivable way that I can actually explain the horror of this situation. So, you know, what the hell else are you going to do? I mean, that whole thing is just staggering. And anybody who's ever, by all means, read the book, okay? Read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, short book, little book. I usually find that the really good books are small. And you could probably get through that bad boy 2 days. Even if you're like, you know, Dick and Jane level reading like I usually am, I'm like, ooh, you know, I guarantee you'll burn that book off in a week if you burn it like 2 hours a night or whatever. It's one of those books you read and you want to like download into everybody's head all over the planet.
It's so good.
Well, it's inspiring, and it's one of those like, you know, I'll never probably, you know, write a WOG manual as such, but I think that if I was going to have a WOG library, there'd be books that would be in the WOG library, and this one would be right there. You know, I mean, it would probably be a shelf, and there'd probably be, like, say, I don't know, 15-20 books. I mean, you want to boil it down so you know that these are like required reading. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, 100% required reading for every single person who wants to understand how to deal with suffering or any kind of circumstance. I mean, the guy is he won a Nobel Prize. I'm going to say. My God, Sam, you better Google that. Make sure. Viktor Frankl, make sure. But he received all kinds. He also developed something called logotherapy, which is his study of, like, the logos, meaning the voice inside your head, you know, that...
Right.
You know, so it was just absolutely horrific what he went through. But he wrote a good book. So if you get a chance, check that out. But back to the running thing, it's just a matter of not accepting excuses. It's a matter of getting yourself out the door. It's a matter of getting your ass around the block. I did record a rant on that, I think. Didn't I do a rant on that one?
And don't forget the theme music to running, too. Yeah, you listen to some motivational music.
Very, very important. Yes, thank you very much, Sam. Yeah, I totally forgot about the music thing. You've got to try to make the run not suck as much as you can, because running sucks, okay? Every time you do it, it will suck incrementally less, but sometimes that increment... No, it's true. Sometimes it sucks so little less that you can't really tell that it's not sucking as much as it did before, but you'll do like, you know, you'll get down or you might fuck up one morning and you won't be able to make it, but what matters is that you start again fresh every day, because that's a double-edged sword. You know, it's like you could... I didn't run yesterday, or I ran yesterday. Well, if you didn't run yesterday, that means you have to get up and run today. And if you ran yesterday, you'll feel like, oh, but I ran yesterday. I should, you know, take today off and stuff like that. But the one thing I would do, though... I don't know if they got these in the States. They got these stores up here called the Running Room, right? And to be fair, they know their stuff. Okay, they'll try to sell you a million running shoes and you know, lubrication for your thighs so you don't set yourself on fire when you're running and stuff. No, they have that. They have, like, thigh lube.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, because, you know, these big tubos start, you know, hammering, you know, Godzilla style down the street. You know, the
whoopa.
Yeah, you know, third degree thigh burns going on because the thighs are rubbing together there. You're going to need some thigh lube.
I guess so, yeah.
Otherwise, you know, yeah, self-ignition and, you know, you have this burning fat dude. Which is a hell of a way to burn off the pounds. But yeah, they have thigh lube.
Yeah, not a good way. But
so, you know, go in there, buy some thigh lube, you know, if you need it. And, no, to be fair, you should probably go...
It's for my thighs, I swear.
You should get a set of running shoes that don't suck, you know, and spend a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Go get a set of running shoes that don't suck. It's cheaper than a gym membership. You got your running shoes that don't suck. Don't buy a million other things. Go to some... you know, secondhand thrift store, buy a shitload of shitty t-shirts, or just use the shitty t-shirts you don't wear anymore, and you know they're sitting in your drawer, and they've been in there for 2 years, and you just can't throw them out because you love them too much. So get some hardcore t-shirts. Load up the MP3 device with, which I'm not really super in love with my MP3 device these days. The iBox is kind of lacking in a lot of ways.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the editing features of the iPod Touch. It's kind of like, you know, this relationship where you first get the thing and it's like, hello, I am your new iTouch. I will show you how deft I am in my movements. And you're like, hooray. And 6 months later in the relationship, you're like, yeah, I want to like copy and paste this over here. Hello, I am, oh, for fuck, you know. And it's just not there. And I'm having the same problem, since I'm on the topic, before, you know, we'll just skip off of that. I'm having the same problem with Ubuntu. I really am. It's starting to really choke me out here a little bit because, like, I got to get a Dive log and I've got to put it on the new computer and then I can't find a good piece of Dive computer software so they can, like, take my pictures and stuff. It's very frustrating because I don't want to be limited by my operating system. I really don't. And never mind, you know, the politics of it. Never mind any of that. And yes, it's very slick and it goes in, but the shit has got to work. You know, if it doesn't work... then what the hell? Now, there's going to be a million trillion angry Linux emails going, you know, going off explaining how, you know, it's so much better than Windows and all this kind of stuff. And
you just need to type these 20 lines of code and then it'll work.
Exactly. Which, to be fair, you know, just there's a large barrier to entry because when you switch operating systems, it's quite difficult because suddenly you're noob again. Yeah. You don't know how to do anything, right? You're like, oh, how do I, you know, install something? I mean, I've been double-clicking on stuff for hours. It's just not working. I don't understand it. You know, it's the user interface, it's not as bad as Second Life, but it's definitely not as slick as the OS X. So, you know, the whole... So, I mean, you know, I guess in time it'll come along. And, you know, is it such a sin for me to try to have to, you know, should I... What's wrong with trying to learn something? You know, you may as well.
That's true. I mean, there's a big area, a barrier to entry on Ubuntu, and I haven't found anything that's good for audio or video editing. So, you know what? I'm still on Windows for that. But for playing videos and music and stuff, it's totally fine. And for browsing the internet and stuff like that, it's cool, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I use it for. And I notice it is snappier. It is snappier. When it does work, mm-hmm. It works better. I'll be the first to say it. No, it does. I mean, it really does. And the shit just doesn't,
oh, yeah,
it doesn't lag
great.
Out. It doesn't crash. It's a beautiful operating system. Looks very, very good. I'm having some issues with it. So rather than being a whiny little bitch and, you know, just cry about it, I'm willing to learn. But I'll tell you, if anybody out there's got, you know, a dive program that doesn't suck, I looked online. A few people showed... There's a few that came up that were good with, like, I guess KDE or something like that. But it doesn't allow you to put pictures in with your dive shit, which upsets me. And then the whole syncing.
If you do have Windows software for diving, you can run it under Linux. You can use Wine or another. There's two programs that you can use Windows programs. But of course, then you ask, why am I using Linux if I'm running Windows programs?
No. Well, what is this all about? So this is like an emulator that you run in the background and you can install stuff, or what's the deal there?
It's similar to an emulator. Yeah, you can actually run real Windows programs in Linux.
Nobody tells me this stuff. Nobody tells me this.
Yeah, look up Wine, Wine.
So let me get this straight. So I can run this Wine thing, right? And then I can run all the applications in Linux and all my applications from Windows.
Yep. It's kind of like a crossover program that helps you move over to Linux until there is a good program for dive logs.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, everybody, and that was our Linux section of the show, which, to be fair, if you want to learn a little bit, if I was going to have, you know, like a system installed on my, you know, Cyborg parts, I think that Linux would probably be the system I would want because it seems a little bit more stable. Which brings us to the news in Cyborg news. We've got a very cyberpunk show today. We got a lot of cyber body mod, you know, yeah, very much so. In Cyborg news, researchers at the University of 20, which I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
That's a cool name.
20? We are the University of 20. We have developed a new type of resin that can be broken down by the body. Huh. This new resin makes it possible to replicate important body parts exactly and make them fit precisely. Huh. The resin can be given different properties depending on where in the body it is to be used. Cells can be sewn and cultured into these models, and tissues grown are in fact produced by the body itself. The new resin has been developed by Ferry Melchels and Professor Dirk Grimpa of UT's Polymer Chemistry and Biomaterials Research Group. And an article on this breakthrough will appear in the authoritative specialist journal Biomaterials. Stereolithography is a technology in which three-dimensional objects can be made from a digital design. It is also possible to scan an object using a CT scanner or micro-CT scanner to obtain a digital image. The object in question can subsequently be copied with extremely accurate with a stereolithograph. How about that bad boy? A stereolithograph is therefore a 3D replicating machine with very high resolution. The way it works is based on the local hardening of a liquid resin with a computer-driven light. The resins available from stereolithography so far harden into chemical networks that cannot be broken down. So what we have here is we have a 3D printer producing organs. For the first time, researchers of the UT have developed a biodegradable resin that can be used in this replicating machine. They made the resin in such a way that it could be broken down by the body, making the objects from this resin may have greater advantages for many medical applications. If, for example, a child has a heart valve disorder, a 3D digital image of the heart valve can be created using a CT scanner. How Ghost in the Shell is that? The model in stereolithograph can be copied exactly within the new resin. If the structure is made porous, the child's own cells can be placed on it. This porosity gives nutrients access to the cells. Ultimately, the carrier structure has broken down and only the natural tissue remains. So essentially, it's like an internal bandage that dissolves over time. Another possibility is to use the resin to create structures for correcting skull defects. You can fabricate a shape very accurately using the stereolithograph, and growing the patient's own cells on it, his or her own natural bone tissue will be regenerated. Now, they were doing a similar thing with coral, and you may have seen it with the horns. They put the coral on, and then the bone replaces the coral and stuff, which is, I guess, how that works. But, yeah, I mean, this is pretty cool. I mean, now for body mods, you can grow some really crazy horns, or you can, add things to your bones. Like, what if you were to open up your arms and you cover everything with another, quarter inch of this plastic? And then it stimulates your bones so suddenly your bones are all, like, bigger, and you've got, planamel, which is kind of what this stuff is, right? Which is what I call them after now, is planamel. And you've got the beginning of the spiders, which is what I call them after now as well. So that's pretty cyberpunky, I would think.
Yeah.
Reminds me
of that machine in Fifth Element where they recreated the body from
a 3D snap
kind of thing. And,
yeah, that's exactly what this is. This is Gen 1 of that. Good call. Good call, Sim. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what that is. So, and if you haven't seen Fifth Element, that's definitely a movie to watch. I've never understood why. I don't know why people think that chick is hot. I've never understood that. People seem to think that the main character there, what's her name? Like Mia Slavovich or whatever the hell her name is. She's like some kind of super model.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't understand what the attraction is to her. I have no idea. For some reason, it's like, I think she's a totally, like, she's not bad looking, you know what I mean? She's not an ugly woman, but I'm kind of wondering why she got the lead role. Like, think of any other starlet in Hollywood and it beats her like she stole something. I don't know why she got the role. It's real, like, I would have much rather seen, say, like, Jennifer Connelly. Or my favorite woman in Hollywood, I always, always forget her name. And I just remember it again. Monica Bellucci. If I was going to do Fifth Element again, it'd be Monica Bellucci. Would be or Bellucci or what the hell's her last name?
Bellucci.
Yeah, the other one. But she's pretty much the hottest chick in Hollywood right now. So
she's got curves. Yep.
She does have curves. And if the best Monica Bellucci? Bellucci?
Yep.
Movie.
Bellucci.
Thank you, man. Is Brotherhood of the Wolf. She plays an awesome character there, and you get to see her top.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen Brotherhood of the Wolf?
No.
Really?
It's in French, right?
Yeah, subtitled. Yeah, it's a subtitled French movie. A Canadian guy in it plays the Indian. It's basically an Indian and this Acadian guy go back to Paris and get all Call of Cthulhu and kick a lot of ass. And it's kind of got some kung fu stuff going on in there, too. It's like Napoleonic Matrix movie. It's a very, very good film.
Really?
Yeah, it's super. Yeah, I can't believe it. I've got it on DVD, man. Like, I've got it on DVD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, Brotherhood of the Wolf, dude. Like, oh, yeah. Major good flick. And that was the one where and you know where Monica got her start? Which was funny, because I've talked about this before, even on the show.
She is in The Matrix, right?
But she was, yeah. She looked terrible in The Matrix. But yeah, she was. They had to make her look less attractive in The Matrix because she's just so unbelievably freaking hot. But she was originally, she was one of the vampire wives in Bram Stoker's Dracula. You know those three mega hot chicks that were like Dracula's brides who like get Keanu Reeves? Yeah, she was one of those. Yes, she was one of those. And I have always said that there was this one chick who was a vampire chick from and sure as not, I'm not the only one who thinks so. She's done a couple other movies and there's lots of fantastic nude photography of her online. Like, just unbelievably stunning artistic stuff. Like, she's a chick that's so hot, you can't really, like, you couldn't even make out with her. You just want to, like, cast her in glass and lock her in a cabinet somewhere. You know, she's just, like, got that
work
weird
of art.
Yeah, she's like that. She's like, insanely, insanely hot. You know, in like, an unattainable kind of way. Not in, like, I'm sure that if she was to walk up to me and be like, "Hi, Sean," I'd totally be like, thud, and that'd be it. And I'd just, like, fake a seizure, and that'd be it. And then, spend the rest of my life pining about it. But moving on, more combat. Do you remember that guy in Alaska built the mech? We ran the story on him, and then he put the mech on eBay. That was the last I heard of this guy, was he built the big hydraulic mecha. He put it on eBay. The running price he was asking was 11 grand for it, okay? Well, I've got an update on Carlos Owens. Yes, he's still working on that mecha up there. I'm loving the guy. Carlos Owens had handled all kinds of machines as an army mechanic, but he'd always dreamed of using those skills for his own project, his own mecha, a giant metal robot that could mirror the movements of its human pilot. Owens, who's 31 now, began building an 18-foot-tall, 1-ton prototype in his home in Wasilla, Alaska in 2004. And that's when we first started reporting on this guy. Working without blueprints, so he's just giving her. He made her first full-scale model out of wood, moving on to steel.
Wood.
Yeah, he made the first one out of wood. He then had to devise a hydraulic system that would provide precisely the right leverage for the range of movement. He settled on a complex... He settled on a complex network of cables and hydraulic cylinders that can make up the mecha, raise its arms, bend its knees, and even do a sit-up. Owens is working on two more prototypes. Okay, so he's got two more on the go. Wow. Modifying the design to make it lighter and more maneuverable. Okay, somebody get this guy some titanium. Nice. No. He foresees mechas having uses in the military and construction industry, but acknowledges that right now they're best suited for to entertainment. The first application he has in mind is mecha versus mecha battles, demolition derby style. He's got 4 years into it. He's into it for $25,000 so far, and they give the breakdown. He got an honorable mention in one of these popular science things, and I was just overjoyed. And they have a recent updated picture too of the mecha, which is it's really coming along, you know. And when you think about guys like, you know, the Molar dude with his Molar Sky car, who's been into it now since, you know, what, 1980, and he's still, you know, it doesn't have anything that does anything. This dude's been at it since 2004. He's got two prototypes. I mean, the shit is working. You know, he hasn't got one that's walking around just yet, but give the brother a break, man. He's 31 years old. He's working in, you know, the frozen tundra of Alaska trying to build a mecha. I mean, this is very Conan. You know, really, if we were going to romanticize this, you got this Air Force guy who's a mechanic, you know, and all of a sudden, working on mecha to protect his nation's capital. And, you know, what we'll have is we'll have, like, the big Red Menace movie, right, where the Russians invade. Because you can see it from there, right? You can see Russia from there. And they, like, invade, and, you know, it's right? And they're all, like, you know, crazy tanks and stuff like that. And it comes down to Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he's just like, you got that sound, you know, that kind of whisper turbine whine kind of come out of the barn, you know, and the lights all start going, and you just, you know, you get the mag cannon up, and he just starts rocking the bells, you know, starts firing off those real cannon shots with the little spirals around them that used to be on Unreal, you know, that'd be sexy. I just enjoy it. Enjoy the idea. Carlos,
it's perfect movie.
It's good. Yeah. It's a good film. You know what? And any movies about mecha, you know, we had a little bit in that horrible movie, you know, Terminator Damnation. They had that giant robot there with motorcycles built into his knees. I thought that was, you know.
Of course, yes.
But we're not going to talk about that. That doesn't even count. That's actually a giant robot. It wasn't even mecha. It's got to have a pilot for it to be mecha. More cyborg news. Now, here we go. This is actually pretty wild. You know, more Israeli Jewish people in the news. After breaking his neck in a 1997 fall, an Israeli engineer. Now, you know, I wonder why that is that they put that in there. You know, they make a point of that. He's Israeli, you know. I don't know why that is. But anyway, you know, honestly, I never met a Jewish dude until, well, I may have. You know, it's not like they got big stickers on them.
Never know,
anything.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but like one of the Hasidic guys with the little curls and the hats and everything, I met him at that camera store we went to in New York. What was the name of that place we went to? You and I went there.
B&H.
B&H. We went in there. It was full of Jews and robots. And that's all they have there is Jews and robots. And I walked up to one guy and said, "Hey, so you're like a Jew?" And he's like, Yeah, I am. I'm like, "You got a lot of nice robots here." He's like, Yeah, we like robots." And I'm like, "Cool, Jews are good in my book, okay." You know, because if they got the robots, that's okay by me. I think the whole notion of isolating people by religion is retarded. So, you know, whatever. I don't understand why. Hey, guy's got a funky haircut and a little silly hat. And you know what? Whatever. I mean, they're cool silly hats. They kind of look like Agent Smith, only, you know, kind of a little bit more down, like Amish. They look like an Amish Agent Smith with some kind of dreads. That's kind of, if you were to describe Hasidic Jews to people who don't know them. And they seem kind of nice. Speaking of which, that's all big news in the news right now, because that nutbag went into the Holocaust Museum and started shooting this week. You know what I mean?
Haven't heard that.
You hadn't heard that? Well, let me tell you.
No.
No, amazing. This crazy bastard who's, like, you know, got the white supremacist website on the go, wrote a book and everything.
Wow.
The scary thing is he was a retired naval officer, and he – now, here's the sick part. On his website – I don't know if it's still there, but I got there really, really early, and it may not be up anymore. But he had a letter on there from a rear admiral who was retired supporting all his white supremacist claims. So I'm like, whoa. Now, you would think that an admiral, you know, and people who are officers, because that's like a cardinal, you know, and like if, you know, Colin Powell was like, you know, the Pope. You know, these rear admirals, I mean, they got a lot of, they'd be like a cardinal. You know, I mean, these guys got a lot of clout. You know, they're and you'd think to see that kind of insanity spouting from someone at that level, and you know, guy, and I had my go around with checking out the whole white supremacist thing. I listened to what they had to say. It's bullshit. It's all just hate. You know, it's all designed on trying to, you know, divide people and stuff like that. Just like, you know, Louis Farrakhan stuff. I mean, he's a black supremacist, and then there's lots of Chinese supremacists, and there's lots of Filipino supremacists and Mexican supremacists. There's those two groups out of Mexico that are all like, you know, they're trying to like, they're Mexican supremacists or Latina supremacists or whatever, you know, and no matter how you approach this, it's such a volatile topic that people get upset. And I think the more that
it's
they
ridiculous.
Like, why play on the nationalism thing? Like, why don't we just get past
that? I'm better because I was born here. Yes.
Yeah. So
this
is
my skin color. So therefore I'm better.
Exactly. So let's addendum the story. Well, no, we'll report the story as we see it, but it says an Israeli engineer, but I should just say an engineer on Earth, named Ahmed Grofer, learned that he would be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He soon concluded that this mode of transportation was outdated and began to work on the ReWalk. Now, this is awesome. This is like what I even said. Like, if I wound up in a wheelchair, I'd make myself some legs. The only wearable exoskeleton that allows paraplegics to stand, amble, and even climb stairs. Soon, more than a dozen patients in the U.S. will strap on and start strolling. Gopher, who's now 56, needed a design that would be not only safe, but also energy efficient and enough to last for an entire day. I was worried that you'd need a truckload of batteries, he recalls. To solve that problem, he made a design choice that meant he could never use it. Gopher is paralyzed from the chest down, but he realized that if the wearers could use crutches, it would conserve energy and simplify balance, since the device wouldn't have to keep the person upright all on its own. The 44-pound prototype, which takes a few minutes to get into, has several modes, among them walking, sitting, climbing, and descending stairs, that the user selects on a wristband controller. Plant one of the crutches and lean forward into lock mode, for example, and a tilt sensor in the ReWalk shoulder harness registers the motion. A computer in the backpack interprets this data and instructs the electronic motors in the hip, in the knee, of one leg to move forward. Other exoskeletons, like Honda's walking assist device, takes cues from the user's actual leg motions or electrical system signals in their muscles, which wouldn't work with paraplegics. So, but the thing is, though, is that's an interface away, right? All we need to get is one of those EEG helmets on there, you know, so that you can just take the same signals from another part of the body, whatever. Another plant of the crutches and another lean, and the motors on the side swing, and the second leg ahead, stand up straight, and the device halts. Now, this is fantastic because, I mean, what can't you do with it? This is like working. The guy came up with it. He issued it. And I've never been in a wheelchair, but a lot of people have told me that the aspect of always being sitting is psychologically extremely hard on folks. So the fact that if you can stand up, I think that this is a great thing. And the fact that an engineer, you know, wound up getting paralyzed and just thought it up and did it on his own, I think that's about some of the most wog shit ever in the history of the world. I enjoy that. And plus, you know, you got bionics, exoskeleton, paraplegics walking, server provides, you know, and it's hot. It's the new hotness.
It's all good.
Yeah, can't go wrong. What's not so hot is we have some prosium news. Prosium being the drug of choice issued out to the general populace in the outstanding and breakthrough movie Equilibrium, which no one really talks about because it basically makes fun of the drug industry. So this was sent to me by Amethyst, who sent me in this really groovy story. Three antipsychotic drugs, Sim, that have long been prescribed to adolescents, even though they were not approved for such use by the Food and Drug Administration, deserve to have the regular agency's imprimatur, an FDA advisory committee said yesterday. So let me get this straight. You got these three antipsychotic drugs that are being prescribed to adolescents, but they're not approved to do that by the Food and Drug Administration. So what's the Food and Drug Administration? Are they like the UN? They have no nuts to do anything? They just make ideas up and people are like, yeah, whatever, man. After weighing the costs and benefits, you know, we were going to give you these drugs that might kill you, but we weighed the cost and benefits of prescribing the antipsychotic drugs Seroquel, Geodon, and Zyprexa for children 10 to 17 years old who suffer from schizophrenia and manic depression, which is a pretty broad spectrum of problems. like to be told that you're manic depressive. I mean, a lot of stuff can get interpreted in that. And plus, you know, I think that all kids between the ages of 10 and 17 years old are fucking crazy anyway. So it's not going to be too hard to get them hooked up on this stuff. I mean, they're living balls of horror. That's puberty. Right there, 10 to 17.
Yeah,
that's puberty.
Your hormones are messed up.
Yeah, so if you're going to get them,
do crazy things, to be depressed, to be happy, and everything in the rainbow of emotions.
That's right. So we don't want you listening to Marilyn Manson. That's a sign. You know, goth is a sign of depression and stuff. So we now got three more bullets we could put in the gun to fire at your fucking head. The regulatory advisory is not required to follow the recommendations by the medical panel, but usually does, because medical panel was bought and paid for by who? Anyway, in a briefing document, Thomas Largen, the FDA's Director of Division of Psychiatry Products, who's the Prince of Darkness, indicated that the agency's evaluation of clinical trials conducted by AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Eli Lilly. I mean, okay, come on. Come on now. Why wouldn't you trust Pfizer and Eli Lilly? And these AstraZeneca guys, they've never done anything wrong.
Yeah. Very independent companies.
Sure.
They have no issues.
It's not like they murdered people in Africa and with drug experiments. It's not like, they do lab rat testing. It's not like, they're trying to, copyright life on planets. It's not like, essentially, they're the devil. Really. But these clinical trials conducted by Satan and his two minions had shown that the medications were effective in children. Gah!
they calmed right down.
Well, what gets me here is you tested these on children? Which means that, you were cool with that? The risk profile of the drugs among children, Loughran added, was similar to the side effects they caused among adults, whom the drugs were already prescribed. Okay. The antipsychotic drug market in the United States... Now, here's a stat. You ready for this one? The antipsychotic drug market in the United States... Take a guess, Sam, without reading. Did you read it already?
I already did.
You already did?
Yeah, I did.
$14.6 billion, according to the Associated Press. Seems low.
That's unbelievable.
Seems low.
Low.
Seems low.
It does seem low, actually, for that many big companies.
That's the United States.
Reports are huge.
United States only. Right. So we're not including Canada in that, which is pretty much California again. And we're not including any other country. But the United States, on its own.
It's like $35 per person in the United States giving money to these drug companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single person.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They need to partnership up with a major like Microsoft or something, so they have a drug, sort of maybe if we get the implants thing going on. Should the FDA grant approval for the drugs, that figure is likely to grow. Well, yeah, because they got more ways of making money. If the three drugs are approved, they would join the antipsychotic drugs Rifprazole and Abiflay, which already have FDA approvals for use among children. So now they're going to have, cartoons where they have, these five superheroes, and if you take them in your mouth, then you. Several scientific groups, including the American Psychiatric Association and the American Academy of Child Adolescent Psychiatry, have urged regulators to allow physicians treating children with serious disorders the flexibility to choose from a range of drugs. Now, this is the really evil thing about this, is that there are people out there who need these drugs, okay? Mm-hmm. There are people out there who need them, but... chances are you don't need them for a really long time. You only need them for a short period of time, and then you can get off the drugs. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to wear a Band-Aid for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? I don't want to be bandaged up for the rest of my life. And that's what these drugs do. So you know what?
That's what they want. That's what they want. They want you hooked on for the rest of your life.
Well, of course.
You're a terminal case.
Yeah, you betcha. Prescription population. And No, I judge drugs by their side effects. Let's look at their side effects. And
huge list.
I'm not interested in a lot of drugs that have. I'll even go so far as I'm not interested in a lot of drugs. Well, I can't say that. I can't say that I'm not interested in drugs that don't have a lethal dosage because caffeine's got an LDA, right? And I use caffeine.
That's true.
So I'm looking at the side effects. I'll judge. I'll go out and say that. Yeah, function over form. Let's see what the side effects are. What's the risk factor using these bad boys? And then we'll make an educated decision as to what drugs we should use. Because after all, at the end of the day, you're only as good as your medicine and technology make you. And as well, let's not...
The next sentence is very scary. I don't want you to miss that one.
Which one's that?
I don't believe that one. More than two-thirds of adults?
More than two-thirds of adults with bipolar disorder the scientific advocacy groups added, appear to have experienced symptoms since childhood, which groups said underscored the importance of treating such disorders early.
And yeah, so they want to get them early. They're missing a big market. Fetuses. They should be able to diagnose it before they're born.
Well, honestly, Sim, you know, if both of your parents are bipolar, right?
There you go.
There you go, right? You're not going to get a German Shepherd out of two Doberman Pinschers. You know, let's be real here. You know, and that's the way they'll you know, they can rationalize anything, man. They can rationalize anything because they pay these dudes big, big money. Now, speaking of big money, not many people have more big money than the RIAA. And let's talk about broken legal. You remember the Pirate Bay? There was that Pirate Bay thing.
Yes.
Went down, and then they found out, oh, yeah, one of the judges was on the payroll of the RIAA, right? You remember that? And he was all, like,
yeah,
involved
there. Yeah, not looking
there.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I sort of thought, well, I mean, there goes that. I mean, think about that. Think about that trial happening anywhere in the world, and you find out, oh, shit, one of the judges is on the payroll of, like, say it was over drugs. One of the judges was on the payroll of the drug company, right? Done.
Yeah.
Mistrial, right? You know, right there, bang. You know,
start again.
Start
reset.
Again.
Yeah.
And that judge is probably going to be disbarred and shot and drawn out and hang, right? Well, apparently not. Apparently, the Pirate Bay judge was not biased. This is from June 9th. Nordstrom is a member of several organizations that takes a pro-copyright stance. These memberships form the basis of accusation from defense lawyers that the judge is biased, and they have voiced calls for a retrial. Well, duh. A judge means you're supposed to be impartial. That's why it's called a judge. Defense lawyers pointed out in appealing the convictions of their clients, Peter Sundell, Frederick Nisch, Carl Lundstrom, and Gottfried Svartholm Warg, which is a great name, on charges of complicity in breach of the Copyright Act, that one of the organizations receives funding from the recording industry organization, IFPI. But the Stockholm District Court has now argued that criticism is misplaced. What? How the fuck do you figure? The memberships are simply a mean to gain increased knowledge of copyright legislation issues and are not therefore grounds to establish bias, the court argues. So... If the recording industry explains to you why copyright, you know, violations are bad, that's not biased somehow, you know? And they do it to get information. And, you know, I can't help but, you know, these judges, if there was only some way that these judges could research things on their own from Sweden, you know, if there was some method,
some way,
you know, that they could search and learn.
Repository of knowledge somewhere.
Commonly shared by everyone, you know, that anyone could have access to, and they could, you know, look at multiple views of the same thing rather than, you know, Yeah. I
So does he have a membership to the Pirate Party as well, so he can get the other side too?
I don't think so.
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
no.
I don't think so. And I'm pretty sure that the Pirate Party is not going to give him any money, you know, cuz they're pirates, right? So I'm thinking that is kind of a bizarre thing that makes me not have faith in the legal system. And let's not ever forget that there's a difference between the legal system and the justice system. The legal system is not a justice system. Thank you very much. And Cyberpunk Kit. Now, this is kind of neat. This is Bullet Flight for the iBox. Now, I was talking about my iBox, which is essentially an iPod Touch inside of an OtterBox. And in the picture in this story, you'll see that there is a generation, I believe it's a Gen 1 armor case made by OtterBox over top of an iPod Touch. And it's actually got a weapons mount that fits on the side of your, rifle. And this is the program. A new application has been launched for the iPod Touch that will help gun users, make it sound like we're a drug user or something. When was the last time I used? I haven't used in a while. To help gun users line up a clean shot at their target, which, you know, they're trying to not make this about sniping. Because that paper might move, you know. Bullet Flight app, which costs £6.99 to download from the iTunes Store, has been developed by Runway App to turn the iPod Touch into a ballistics computer, which the company says can provide quick solutions in the field. Well, you know, if you need to make the shot, you know, it's important. Got to make the shot. I would not want to not make the shot. So, you know, if it... this is one of those kind of things that looks like it might save lives. So, you know, whatever. They always say that about stuff that's designed to kill people. Users can mount their iPod Touch to their rifle and then use our iPod touch screen to tap in details about the wind conditions, ammunition type, distance to the intended target, and even the wind speed, which you can't do in a hurry, you know, which is kind of a downside. Unlike other apps, Bullet Flight does not output information in table format, says the application's iTunes page. What it does is dynamically give the solution you need right now to take the shot. Which is funny, because you got to enter all this information. It says it gives it to you right now, and you're like trying to tappy-tap, tappy-tappy-tap, you know, there's sand blowing, you know, there's gunfire going on. But and it goes on to talk about this. But I thought that was kind of neat to see you know, to have a ballistics computer in your little, you know, kind of cool. Kind of cool. And Captain Morgan, who's currently training to go over into the sandbox himself and run around over there like a silly bugger and, you know, fight a war, sent me this story, which I always, you know, I couldn't believe he found this one. But I hadn't heard about this. And it's a new combat robot. It's a combat robotic snake. There's a picture of it there, Sim. A robotic snake capable of recording video and sound on the battlefield is on its way to join the Israeli Defense Force high-tech arsenal. Huh. According to the Channel 2 report, the spying robot, which is about 2 meters long, covered in military camouflage, mimics the movements and appearance of a real snake. Now, this made me think, again, of Terminator Damnation. Wow. Those hydrobots that they had in the water, that's totally what this thing's reminding me of. Slithering around in caves, tunnels, cracks, and buildings. At the same time, sending images back to the sound, back to a soldier controls device through a laptop computer. So it's a pretty, combat snake.
That's amazing. That's a really good idea because it's incognito. It looks like a snake from like any distance, and it can like poke up its head, look around, slither on.
Well, it looks like a pipe. I mean, in rubble and wreckage, you're not going to even look at this thick, you know,
rusty pipe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of how much cabling's running through your building. You know what I mean? So, you know, building gets shot or whatever. You got this pipe here, and all of a sudden you've got this robotic snake. How long before they, you know, have it, you know, with a little taser in there too and stuff like that? I mean, that's kind of a. And you think about that in a battlefield setting, and this thing like kind of snakes up on you. I don't know, man. It's kind of a wild device. It was first debuted in 2005, This one appeared a little bit later. There was the first one ever seen was 2005 in Japan, and that was one called the ACMR5, which had the ability to glide through water as well, which it really was a hydrobot.
Oh, wow.
So kind of interesting. And keeping with that, the whole UA snake thing, we have a do-it-yourself UAV website, which is very, very cool, and that's one of your daily hacks today. This is really neat. It's called DIYDrones.com. An unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV, colloquially known as a drone, is basically an aerial robot. We define it as capability of both remotely controlled flight, like in a regular RC aircraft, fully autonomous flight, and controlled by sensors, GPS, and onboard computers performing the functions of an autopilot. Our UAV includes airplanes, helicopters, quadricopters, and blimps. Most of them are under 5 pounds. Some of them, especially blimps, can be used indoors. So this is an interesting idea of having a UAV flying around indoors in your house relaying information. Like, what an awesome sentry device. And this website is full of these apps. It's really, really cool. There's a picture of a jet, a remote control jet that they built into one. It looks pretty cool.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Jet.
Yeah. Yeah, micro, you know, remote control jet. So kind of neat. And we have Kikari Key, I think is the name of this app. It's a do-it-yourself wireless keyboard sniffer. So if anyone's using a wireless keyboard, You can build one of these things, and essentially you don't even need to put in a keylogger. It's just right there. So you know, once again, all the WOGs go out. They throw out all their wireless stuff and go back to the hardwired keyboards, which is hard to do.
That's right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, wireless is cool.
Do you use a wireless keyboard, Sim?
Mine is hardwired. My mouse is wireless, but I mean it's just clicks and stuff and movements and things. But mine is hardwired, so I'm okay there.
Yeah, I have used them before, and I enjoy them. I mean, cables are evil. Everyone knows
that
cables.
They are evil. Yeah.
And then there's this daily hack as well called Wolfram Alpha, which I don't really understand. Okay, it's one of these kind of apps. I go, wow, this thing's really, you know. So I rely on guys like Alien Binary or Nihi to go and look at this and, you know, tell me what's going on with this. But Wolfram Alpha's long-term goal is to make all symmetric knowledge immediately computable and accessible to everyone. Sounds good. We aim to collect and curate all objective data, implement every known model, method, and algorithm, and make it possible to compute whatever can be computed about anything. Our goal is to build on the achievements of science and other systemizations of knowledge to provide single source that can be relied on by everyone for definitive answers to fractal queries. Or, pardon me, to factual queries. Wolfram Alpha aims to bring expert-level knowledge and capabilities to broadcast a range, broadcast possible range of people, spanning all professions and education levels. So this is when you look at it, it's really cool. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but it enables, like, just go take a look at it, okay? It's one of those kind of apps you kind of have to look at it and play around with it. It's called Wolfram Alpha, spelled like it sounds. Wolfram, all one word, Alpha. Another word, but I think it's wolframalpha.com or something like that. So it's a very strange website altogether, but I think it's cool, and it's definitely... It, just because I don't understand it, and I can't really explain it, when you go there and take a look at it, you'll probably have a better grasp than I will, but it's definitely weird enough to wind up on Newsreel. That's, you know, my whole thing. And of course, your Wreckimedia today, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Get the book, read the book. It's a very good book. And that way it gives you a better understanding of how to endure the most horrible of suffering and not just getting up in the morning and going for a run. And that is all that I have got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week. Sim and I, you'll be here next week, right? I think you'll be here next week. Unless I kill you. not that I would.
The girlie's birthday is next Thursday, so we might have to make it Wednesday.
Yeah, well, sure. So you're... Yeah.
Or not.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, yeah. We'll figure out what's going on with that. That's all I got
for you.
We'll
figure it out.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know. But I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, please distribute this show. If you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 181-21-1215, C56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. If you'd like to sign up to the Rant newsletter, please do so by sending an email saying, hey, give me the newsletter, to info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance, which is always good. But I'm going to fade out now with a track that was sent in from Jay. And this was kind of a strange one. He sent me this thing. And it's called, I think it's by Norm Sherman, I think is the guy who did this. And it's a song called Pimp My Satellite, where basically he's like, he's making fun of Russia and stuff like this. It's pretty good. I like it a lot. He's like, yeah, man, we're so badass with our space, and your spaceships suck, and our spaceships are awesome. It's pretty rad. It's pretty great. So have you got anything else, Sim, at all?
Oh, we're working hard on the new Rant Media website.
Yes.
Looking pretty good, but not ready yet. But
I was under the impression that was super secret.
Nobody can see it yet, but we're working on it. People can know that we're working on it.
And I have seen it. I can provide
a
witness.
Yes, you're privileged.
I am luckily, I'm privileged enough to have seen it, and I know what it kind of looks like. Have we started shipping the pins yet?
They're going out tomorrow, the first shipment of pins.
Hooray! Which is actually going to be like 3 days ago by the time everybody hears this. But
yes,
due to temporal shifting.
In the past.
Yes.
Woo.
Absolutely. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Yo, Russia, it's me, your arch nemesis. We the G's overseas with Mickey D stains on our tees. With luxuries like you wouldn't believe. We got more ringtones on our iPhones than China's got Chinese. We're America, biatch, the land of the free. We gave you Michael Bolton and Jurassic Park 3. Our soccer teams suck and our beers taste like pee-pee. But our rhymes are so fat they get type 2 diabetes. But enough about us. How come you ain't been calling me? I guess you're trying to stabilize your volatile economy. Preoccupied nationwide with new domestic policy. jealousy, psych. Yeah, right. I know you trying to follow me. You've been disgraced in the space race, trying to save face after coming in second place. Just another taste, victory, chase history, ace Kennedy. But you lost pace with your enemy, and now you're laying low, plotting for as long as we've known ya. You try to hold your head up like Neil Armstrong didn't pwn ya. That secret space ride that you're trying to hide isn't something I would publicize with any pride. I'll tell you why. We be pimping the Hubble tonight. Put them 20-inch rims on, spinning round right. Got the chrome on the dubs, got the subs dumping bass. New spectrograph camera taking pictures of space. Got tricked out subsystems bouncing hydraulics. Don't need any of it, it's purely symbolic. Step up your product, you gotta get on it, cause we be bottom with the telescope that rules even harder than Lenin or Stalin. Don't fight us, our shit is tightest. The satellite is always packed with cuties and booties that are delighted, screaming we are so excited. You got that right, cause you in orbit on a craft that's unrivaled. What you got, Russia? What you been launching lately? Some hoopty ass Sputnik looking thing, second rate, like your older sister Debbie, who I took on a date to the Golden Corral. When the bill came, I made her pay. Oh, silly me, I left my wallet in my cabriolet. I ordered steak, hope that's okay. Now go away, cause you look like Kathy Bates on a bad day. Blase, even put your satellite to shame. Had enough, I can mix it up again. I can flip it, I can rip it any way you want, motherland. You can't cope, cause our telescope's so dope. You know there's no hope, end of the rope, end of the show. Go home, thanks for playing Russia. Here's some skullies for the road. And don't forget your coat when you go, cause it's so damn cold back home. All that snow, like 23 degrees below. Here we go. We be pimping the Hubble tonight. Put them 20-inch rims on, spinning round right. Got the chrome on the dubs, got the subs thumping bass. New spectrograph camera taking pictures of space. Got tricked out subsystems bouncing hydraulics. Don't need any of it, it's purely symbolic. Step up your product, you gotta get on it, cause we be ballin' with a telescope that rules even harder than Lenin or Stalin. We be pimping the Hubble tonight. Put them 20-inch rims on, spinning round right. Got the chrome on the dubs, got the subs thumping bass. New spectrograph camera taking pictures of space. Got tricked out subsystems bouncing hydraulics. Don't need any of it, it's purely symbolic. Step up your product, you gotta get on it, cause we'll be ballin' with a telescope that rules even harder than Lenin or Stalin. USSR, where you at? Don't hate the player, hate the game, Russia.